Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring and my fine wife Bev is on a special assignment today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, 3 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Do nothing from factional motives, through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance." Wow. "Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the other as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourself." In reading these verses, we learn there are seven things we're told not to do. Number one, do nothing from factional motives. According to dictionary.com, the word factional means self-interested. Sadly, many people are only interested in doing something, well, whether it benefits them or not. Wish there were more people like that. Matthew 20, 26, Contemporary English Version says, "But don't act like them. If you want to be great, you must be a servant of all the others." Great scripture. When a verse is repeated twice in scripture, we can know that it must be important to God. And if it's important to him, it better be important to us. Mark 10:43 in the Contemporary English Version. "But don't act like them. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others." This scripture points out that greatness is personified in the service to others. Matthew 23:11. "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." If you want to be considered great in the kingdom of God, serve someone else, especially when nobody is looking. Number two, do nothing through contentiousness. According to dictionary.com, the word contentiousness, as listed in Philippians 2:3, Classic Amplified, is defined as tending to argument, quarrelsome. Have you ever been around someone who just like to argue? Maybe a family member or friend, co-worker, or maybe just somebody you sit beside at a restaurant. Certain people, well, they seem to relish arguing about anything with anybody. It's easy to get drawn to a conversation or a discussion with contentious people. However, I strongly recommend you avoid this temptation. You certainly do not want to act like or be known as that kind of person. We should all follow the wisdom of a dear friend of this ministry, Pam from Valrico, Florida, who once gave one of the most powerful and appropriate anagrams of SALT that I've ever heard. It's simply this: S, stop; A, acting; L, like; T, them. You know, the best way to stop acting like them is not to allow yourselves to become argumentative, even in self-defense. Instead, let God be your defender. Number three, do nothing through strife. James 3:16. "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." I have a historical background in politics and a unique understanding of how that system works, what motivates and or frustrates voters. One of the things I dislike intently is when people interrupt or talk over other people without letting them express their opinion. Even if I completely disagree with what you're saying, I'm going to wait my turn to speak. Do anything else? Well, It's just plain rude and creates strife. I find it interesting that the Greek word for strife, G2052, is defined in Strong's Concordance as electioneering or intriguing for office, a desire to put oneself forward. I'd say it's an apt description of the state of political dialogue in this country. However, it becomes even more interesting when you realize the root word for strife, G2042, means to stir up, to provoke. When you provoke someone, you're causing trouble that will undoubtedly come back to haunt you. Number four, do nothing selfish. I can give you a great reason not to be selfish. It is confirmed with almost three identical scriptures found in Matthew 16:24, Mark 8:34, and Luke 9:24. Three of the Gospels. Matthew 16:24 in the New Living Translation. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me.'" The bottom line, God does not want us to be selfish. In fact, Philippians 2:4 in the Classic Amplified admonishes us to always be concerned about the interest of others. That verse says, "Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned not for merely his own interest, but also each for the interest of others." Our thoughts and actions will either be dominated by our flesh, which is selfish, or our spirit, which is selfless. We choose. Number five, do nothing for unworthy ends or reasons. If something is not unworthy, then it's worthy. So clearly the scripture is telling us to do things that are worthy of our lineage as a joint heir with Christ and our calling. Ephesians 4:1, Classic Amplified. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling which you've been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service." Wow. Final analysis, we should want to be declared worthy. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, Classic Amplified. "With this in view, we constantly pray for you, that our God may deem and count you worthy of your calling and his gracious purpose of goodness, and with power may complete in your every particular work of faith that is leaning of the whole human personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness." If you want to hang around with worthy people, prove yourself to be worthy. Be proud to be worthy. Number six, do nothing through conceit. There's only one thing you need to know about being conceited, and it's found in Proverbs 16:5, Contemporary English Version. It says, "The Lord doesn't like anyone who's conceited. You can be sure they'll be punished." Do you need more clarification on what that scripture means? Then consider Proverbs 16:5, this time in the Classic Amplified Bible. "Everyone proud and arrogant in his heart is disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured, I pledge, they will not go unpunished." If you're conceited, It is disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. I guess that's pretty clear. Number seven, and these are all in our main scriptures. Do nothing through empty arrogance. Here are seven things you need to know about being arrogant. First, arrogance will always be exposed. 1 Samuel 2:3, New Living Translation. Stop acting so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows what you've done. He will judge your actions. Second, arrogant people always lie. Psalm 59:12, New Living Translation. Because of the sins from their mouths and the words on their lips, let them be trapped by their own arrogance because they speak curses and lies. Third, arrogance aborts wisdom from your life. Proverbs 13:10, New Living Translation. Arrogance produces only quarreling, but those who take advice gain wisdom. Fourth, arrogance knows no boundaries. Proverbs 21:24, New Living Translation. An arrogant, conceited person is called a mocker. His arrogance knows no limits. Fifth, arrogance at any level must be stopped, or if you will, arrested. 2 Corinthians 10:5, New Living Translation. And all their intellectual arrogance that oppose the knowledge of God, we take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. 6. Arrogance hangs out with some pretty nasty folks. Mark 7:22, New Living Translation. Greed, wickedness, cheating, shameless lust, envy, cursing, arrogance, and foolishness come from within a person. 7. Wealth without a moral center. Ezekiel 28:5, Contemporary English Version. You're a clever businessman and are extremely wealthy, but your wealth has led to arrogance. Began this teaching today with Philippians 2:1-4. And I want to close with that same passage, but this time from the Message Bible. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't even sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Wow, amazing scripture. I'd say it's time we stop acting like them and begin acting more like Him. Hallelujah. Go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. While you're there, up at the top, if you've been blessed by the teaching, it'll say, sow a seed. Just ask God what seed He'd have you put in the ground. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking. Rich Thoughts.